This is Senior Talk, presented by Heartfelt Care at Home on KRDO News Radio 105.5 FM, 1240 AM and 92.5 FM. Here is your host, Greg Koopman.
Good morning and welcome to Senior Talk, presented by Heartfelt Care at Home, a Total Care Connections family company, right here and only on KRDO News Radio 105.5 FM, 1240 AM and 92.5 FM. I'm Greg Koopman, your host for Senior Talk, founder of Heartfelt Care at Home, Colorado Springs' most trusted senior in-home care provider. Be sure to visit us online today at heartfeltcareathome.com. Joining us in the studio today, our friend and first-time guest here to Senior Talk, we have Kristen Kelly with the Kelly Law Firm. Kristen, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. Welcome to Senior Talk.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Greg.
You are probably one of the most comfortable guests that we've ever had for the first time on here. It's like, I know this stuff, back of my head. This is good. But it's exciting stuff, and it's important stuff that we're going to cover today as far as estate planning. And what that all entails. But before we dive into the exciting topic of that, take a few moments, share with our listeners just a little bit about your background and really what sparked that passion for doing what it is you do today.
Sure. So I went to law school at the University of Denver. And during that, I had a clerkship for a judge down here in El Paso County who had a civil, criminal, and probate docket at the time. And I remember walking into the courthouse thinking homicide, which is murder, would be sexy and fun and really exciting. And honestly, except for opening and closing, and then, of course, if the defendant got on the stand, it was excruciatingly boring. I mean,
wow.
2 to 3 weeks of not so exciting. Probate, on the other hand, was really, really a circus. And there was this monumental case that made a shift for me because I went to law school thinking I would do medical malpractice defense.
Okay.
And probate's quite a different, I don't know what the opposite of that is, but estate planning and probate feels like the opposite. But there's this one case that stood out to me, guardianship, conservatorship realm, where five kids were fighting essentially each other. The oldest and youngest were on one side of the courtroom, the three middle on the other. And when I say kids, the youngest was in his 50s. So we're talking about full adults. And I remember sitting there listening to them and thinking, this family will never have Thanksgiving dinner together again. And I'm the oldest of seven. And that really struck a chord with me and sent me tumbling down this path towards keeping families out of the circumstance this family was unfortunately fighting their way through.
Absolutely. And that's when the light bulb went off and you're like, this is what I'm called to do, right?
Yes. Yes, it was. Keeping families intact, I feel, is my purpose.
Well, in the family dynamics, and we see it all the time in home care. And oftentimes we get calls from those guardians or those conservators that say, hey, we need help. Get some caregivers in place to provide the care so the family members for lack of better words, kill each other trying to argue and go back and forth with the dynamics that are there. So take a few moments, you know, share with our listeners a little bit about your practice and really the areas of focus that you work with.
Sure. So our firm does exclusively estate planning and probate. Probate, of course, is the side where someone's passed away and we're getting property or cash assets through the process to whoever the beneficiaries are. And estate planning, which is the bulk of my practice, is the preventative side where we're putting documents in place before something tragic happens, before a loss or someone loses their ability to make their own decisions. And allowing the client to have that empowered ability to make their own decisions in case there comes a time where they can't make them. And that's definitely my preference, is to be in that realm. So I say 80 to 90% of my clients are estate planning and the remainder would be probate.
All right. So it really is a proactive versus an after-the-fact type of scenario. And obviously, we prefer proactive. And I imagine you have, we're going to dive into the specifics of kind of what all these terms are, what it means. How we should plan and prepare, but probably as with most things, especially I know healthcare, but if you plan ahead, you have more options.
That is absolutely correct.
Okay, excellent. And you don't want to try to figure it out last minute and you don't want to try to figure it out in that crisis mode.
Yes. And in that crisis mode, if we're already there, there's a strong possibility, and I'm sure you see this in your line of work, where the client themselves is now too sick to be able to make that decision as to who their power person should be. and we might be going to court and the court's deciding, and maybe that's who the person would want, and maybe it's not, or maybe it's a professional who's charging a high hourly rate.
Okay. Now tell us a little bit about, you know, your experience in dealing with trusts and estates. It sounds like it started back when you worked with kind of that groundbreaking case where the light bulb went off. But I imagine you have tremendous experience with a bunch of different scenarios.
Yeah. So I deal a lot with elderly, but also a lot of younger families. And I really try to focus a lot of my practice on giving education to the community, because there are different groups of people that are more at risk than others, like single people. You know, if you're single and you don't have a spouse, then who's your default decision maker? You definitely don't have a financial power of attorney that you definitely need. Blended families are at additional risks because they stand the very large risk of having one spouse's children disinherited by accident, and special needs families. So if, you know, grandma and grandpa or mom and dad have a child, whether it's a minor or an adult child that has special needs and is on benefits, they need special trust put in place to protect their inheritance so they can keep their benefits. So those are kind of a few of the realms where I work with people outside of just the nuclear family.
Okay, fantastic. I want to focus, obviously, on estate planning today. I think that's key for our listener base. A lot of our listeners are seniors. Even more are children of seniors who might be in their 40s and 50s and don't have this in place. I'm sitting here kicking myself. I'm 39 with four kids and none of this in place. So that you're going to yell at me afterwards. And you need to call me and get this done. And absolutely I do. Because we always find an excuse to put it off and a reason not to do it. And then you run out of time and then it's too late. But today I want to focus on estate planning. I want to start with some of the terminology and kind of the basic information really for listeners so that you, the expert, can guide us through what some of this is. The first and probably one of the most common things that we hear out there is the word will. What is a will?
Simply put, a will is a stack of papers that allows you to say if you have minor children, who you want to take care of them if you can't. And it also allows you to say who you want your personal representative to be, the person who's in charge of things, and where you want things to go. I would call it the AKA instruction sheet for probate document.
Okay. Why should I have a will? Do I need a will?
Yes, everybody needs a will. If you have no other documents in place, getting a will in place is better than nothing, because the will allows you to say who you want in charge when you pass away and where you want assets to go. The plan that the law has in place for people who fail to put a will in place is unlikely to be the plan that you would have picked for yourself.
Okay. Now going with a similar term that we hear out there a lot is living will. What's the difference? Is there a difference between a will and a living will?
This is one of those areas where I think lawyers are sometimes intentionally annoying and confusing because a will and a living will are very different documents.
Okay.
So a living will, it's also called an advance directive. My clients jokingly call it the pull the plug document.
Okay.
It is at least as important as a will. It might be more important because it allows you to say, if two doctors ever say I have no brain capacity and I'm never going to get better and I'm only on life support to prolong the dying process, how long do I want to stay in that condition before having life support withdrawn? And I really have two reasons for thinking it's one of the most important pieces that I put in place for clients. One is there's so much guilt associated with making that decision on behalf of someone else. Yeah. The second one's not going to come as a surprise because, again, keeping families intact is what I'm all about. But families can be very, very, what's a polite way to say it? They can be on different sides of the table when it comes to how long to leave a parent on life support.
Sure.
So when we take that document and put it in place, we're taking that decision away from the kids. And then the kids don't have to worry about 3 days, 5 days, 7 days or more, because whatever mom or dad's wishes are already in writing. So it's very different from the will. It's an advance directive.
And this could be parent, this could be spouse as well. I mean, right? You want to know those things as far as what we want to do for our loved one or what our loved one wants us to do for them. So living will, very different than a will. Do you typically put them together at the same time? I mean, when I say I need a will, you say, yeah, you also need a living will and you also need this and this and this. And we're going to go over some of those other terms. Do I get all this done at once or over time?
With me, we do them all at once.
Okay.
It's not as overwhelming as people tend to think it is. We spread it out and we take the work on ourselves. But yes, all of the documents that we do, and when we recommend them, it's because clients need all of them, because there are different levels of risk that they face when one or more of the documents are missing. So we would definitely do both.
Okay, excellent. Trust. What is a trust?
So I'm going to talk about what's called a revocable living trust. There are different types of trusts out there, but the revocable living trust is the most common one that we're putting in place. And that is the trust that is kind of like the other side of the coin to the will. It allows you to say who you want in charge of running things when you pass away. It allows you to say where you want your assets to go. But a trust is an entity that exists. So it can own your house. It can own your vacation home. It can inherit your bank accounts, life insurance, any of your assets. And the benefit of having a trust is, first and foremost, probate avoidance. Across the board, trusts do not go through probate. It's a very unpleasant court process that we sometimes find ourselves in when people pass away. So first and foremost, for everybody, we're staying out of probate. The second thing it allows us to do is plan for what I call the zombie apocalypse. We have to plan beyond, give things to my spouse, and then when we're both gone, give it to our kids. We have to go beyond that, because unfortunately, sometimes people pass away in an order that we hope they don't.
Yeah.
I've seen it in probate. So we need to plan for those additional layers. And finally, there's a few different things we can do in trust depending on the client, like putting different rules for distribution in place. Sometimes my clients have young children, whether they're minors or young adults. They shouldn't be inheriting money outright. It should be stretched out over time. Sometimes my clients have children, like I mentioned before, that have special needs, or maybe they have addictions. So trust, because it's a living entity that actually exists upon signing, we can put any rules in place that the clients might want to protect their kids.
Okay. Is a trust a common scenario? I mean, why would I need a trust? It's a loaded question. I know why I would need a trust, but why would a individual need a trust or know that, let's look into this, revocable living trust?
So I'll run you through some of the biggest reasons. One of them is having minor children. Minors cannot inherit under the law. And if you're a grandparent wanting to leave something to minor children, we needed to set up the trust as well. That way we can have the inheritance protected and give it to the children whenever you want, for whatever purpose you want. Owning multiple properties, we need to put the trust in place, because every state that you own property in, there will be a probate when you pass. And if one probate is bad, the more, not the merrier in this situation. So there's more legal fees and more restraints and rules, because Colorado is a friendlier state for probate than most.
Okay. Now, I know you're not an accountant, but are there tax advantages to a trust sometimes, or from a financial perspective?
So in Colorado, I always joke that it's a great place to live, but it's also a great place to die. And that is because
you heard it here first on Senior Talk.
So in Colorado, we currently don't have any state death or inheritance taxes, which means we are only concerned about the federal threshold, which applies to about 1% of the population right now. So not necessarily a tax benefit for a trust unless you own property out of state. And that's a little beyond the scope of what I could get into right now. But inheriting property is always a tax advantage for kids, as opposed to quit claiming your kids onto your property, which is something a lot of people want to do. Because when you quit claim your kids onto your property, instead of letting them inherit it, they lose what's called a step up in basis, which means if you bought your house for 50 grand and now it's worth 500,000, when you put your kids on title, the IRS says, your parents paid $50,000. So when you go to sell it for $500,000, the kids are paying capital gains tax on a $450,000 increase that they wouldn't pay if they inherited through the trust or any other form of inheritance.
Okay, I'm going down my list of terminology, we'll say. Another one I see out there common is power of attorney. What is a power of attorney?
Great question. And the first thing I want to debunk is that person does not have to be an attorney. ideally, unless it's your relative, it's not, because if it's an attorney, it means you're probably paying an hourly rate. So power of attorney, we have financial and medical. Sometimes folks choose the same order for both, but a lot of times they're different. So really important to know, powers of attorney protect a person while they are alive. Upon passing, they quit working because the person is no longer living. They don't need their financial and medical decisions made. So medical decision maker steps into their shoes, makes whatever medical decisions the person can't make for themselves, like procedure A, surgery B, doing nothing, long-term care or hospice. Financial power of attorney, on the other hand, very, very important because we don't have default decision makers. We need to know who you trust to access your bank accounts and pay your bills. And hopefully that person that you trust isn't going to steal your assets. So putting people in place that you trust is really important. But again, power of attorney can be medical or financial.
All right. And I want to ask you for your expert guidance. And again, it's somewhat of a loaded question. I do know the answer, but a common question or thought that I see out there with families is, well, mom and dad made me power of attorney, or I'm financial power of attorney, or I'm medical power of attorney for mom or for dad or for my spouse. But that individual has not been deemed unable to make their own decisions. So the fact that you're financial power of attorney or medical power of attorney doesn't mean you get to quote, call the shots if that individual has not been deemed unable to make those decisions, right?
As long as the power of attorney is what we call springing, okay. And the springing powers of attorney are 99.9% of the time what I'm putting in place, the springing says it's triggered by a doctor saying you can't make your own decisions and you're disabled. In the law, we call that incapacity. If it's an immediate power of attorney, which frequently it's not, then they would have it even if mom or dad was okay. But in very, very rare scenarios, is that the kind of power of attorney we'd put in place? So almost always is the answer, yes, what you said. You don't have that power right now.
I love it. And that's a good point to know, because I see that so many times out there meeting with families. And it's like, we're gonna get care in place. And mom and dad are like, I don't want care. They have the right to refuse care. It's a tough one. Here's another one. So power of attorney kind of going hand in hand. I see the terminology a guardian. What is a guardian?
So guardian can be one of two things in this area of law. So I'll hit the minors first, which is less likely to apply with your clients, but I'm still going to hit it. Guardian would be for minor children. If something happens to the parents where the parents are no longer able because they're in a coma or maybe they've passed away to raise the children. So there's that type of guardian. The other type of guardian is for somebody who's an adult that needs essentially a caregiver who can make their medical decisions and be their advocate for them. When we have a medical power of attorney in place, then that person is a power of attorney, not a guardian. But you could kind of see them as being the same. It's just the difference in the terminology is, were they appointed in court or were they appointed in a power of attorney that mom or dad did while they had capacity?
Kristen Kelly, the Kelly Law Firm. Kristen, let's get your phone number out there for our listeners here today in case they want to give you a call and utilize your expertise in this area.
Sure. Our phone number is 719-249-2785.
Fantastic. We're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
Hi, Greg Koopman here, host of Senior Talk Sundays right here on KRDO News Radio. Are you a caregiver or a healthcare professional looking for a company that appreciates what you do? Are you tired of working for low pay, no benefits? Heartfelt Care at Home, Colorado's leading senior in-home care agency, is hiring now for compassionate, experienced caregivers to provide one-on-one care for our clients in their homes. We offer top pay, unlimited work, and industry-leading benefits. Apply online today at heartfeltcareathome.com.
Welcome back to Senior Talk right here on KRDO News Radio. Our friend Kristen Kelly with the Kelly Law Firm educating us today on estate planning. Kristen, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks, Greg.
You know, we talked a little bit in our first segment about probate. You know, what is probate? What is the probate process? But really, why do we want to avoid probate?
So probate is the court process we go through when someone passes away and either owns property or has cumulatively more than $70,000 in assets. Probate in Colorado, we're an easier state than most to go through probate in, but I'm going to make a disclaimer on that and say that it's all relative. We are easier than, say, Florida, but that doesn't make it easy. So probate has to be open in Colorado for at least 6 months. That clock doesn't even get started until you're appointed by the court. There's work to be done beforehand, and probates can take longer than 6 months, depending on how complicated they are. Probate, why would we want to avoid it? Well, not just because of money, which legal fees when you hire an attorney, and most people do because there's personal liability when you're appointed by the court to handle the estate, but there's fees involved that can range $5,000 to $15,000 or more, and that's before we're even looking at litigating in court, meaning we're just jumping through the hoops. But the bigger piece in my mind is how long it takes to get through probate and what it can do to the siblings, the survivors of the person who's passed. I have seen countless people say, now I can start to grieve the loss of my father or my mother or my sister. And that doesn't come until the probate finishes. And again, people who weren't fighting in the beginning tend to squabble the longer it takes. So avoiding probate, in my mind, as a probate attorney, is much more beneficial to the family, and it costs significantly less to avoid it than it does to dive headlong through it.
And it sounds like with a little bit of planning and communication and foresight, it could possibly be avoided.
Absolutely.
So if I'm giving you a call, obviously, I need to get my process started. You know, what information, what documents should I have in place before I give you a call and start this planning process? Do I need to do anything? What's my homework?
That's the good news. For the first meeting, if you're single, all you got to do is bring yourself. If you're married or you have a partner who's going to be involved, bring that person. That's it. Very easy first meeting. After that meeting, if we decide that we're a good fit to work together, then I have an easy homework packet for you. We go through the designing of your plan. The next meeting is executing it. And then we wrap it up by letting your power people, the people impacted by your plan, know what they've been appointed to do so they can ask me or the clients questions directly. It's pretty simple.
Okay. And we're going to call this my estate planning project. How long would it typically take to get this project completed?
So from the first meeting to documents being executed, we can move, usually as quick as within 2 weeks. Sometimes we have extenuating circumstances. Someone's very, very sick and we got to do something right now. We can move quicker, but it's very client dependent. If you want to take longer, we can, but we are able to accommodate, you know, first meeting, second meeting the following week, third meeting the week after, if that's how quick you'd like to move.
And I'm going to make the assumption it's personalized. You're not just going to put together something and then fill me in later on this is what we came up for. Yeah. You know, I'm involved every step of the way.
Well, for your plan, I've written myself into it. I'm inheriting everything. I'm sorry for
There's
your poor children.
There's not much there. Good luck.
No, it's very, very personalized. So the second meeting, all we're doing is going through the details of your plan. I'm running you through examples of things other clients have done, and then we customize from there about what fits you and your family. The third meeting, we're going through everything I've drafted. You don't just come in, sign things, and then wander out. We spend time going through every document because you should know what you're signing. You should know what your plan says, how it works, and how it impacts everybody whose name is in or out of your plan.
Read it before you sign it, it sounds like.
Yes, please. All your contracts, too.
So here's the question. We get it all done. I have everything in place. You know, say I've got the revocable living trust in place. I've got the will. I've got the living will. I got everything in place. Do I regularly review this with you? I mean, is it like annually? Do we sit down? Like, has anything changed? When do I need to review and update this?
So a couple of times you need to update it you need to review it on your own. First one would be if anything's happened to your power people or beneficiaries, whether that's a falling out, someone's passed away, you need to pull out your plan and take a look at it and probably give me a call if either of those things have happened. If it's been more than 2 or 3 years since you've looked at your plan, you should pull it out and take a look at it and make sure it still makes sense. But because attorneys do charge whenever you come visit them, I'm not going to have you come visit me unless you reach out and say, hey, something's happened. I just want to run this by you. And then from there, we decide, does the thing that happened impact your plan in a way we need to do an update? Or are we still okay? Because I like to plan in a way that unless you change your mind, your plan will work. You're 39 now. It'll work until you're 99.
And it's important to update that with any changes that you want, right? A person's intent or vocalizing, hey, if this happens to me, this is what I want to make sure happens. But if their will or their document says otherwise, that's what the courts are going off of, right? Is what's in that document, not what was told to an individual or something like that. And I'm just speaking from personal experience here.
Yes, that is absolutely correct. And one other thing I will caution people who do have a plan in place, if you've changed your mind, do not write on your document. Separate okay. Sheet of paper, call the attorney who put it in place. Writing on documents in this area of law can be seen as revoking that entire piece or the entire document itself. So if you think you need to write on something, separate sheet of paper, call whatever attorney helped you put it in place so you don't accidentally revoke things thinking you're doing one thing that legally you're not doing.
Very good to note. Absolutely. You know, we're running a little bit low on time. It always tends to go by quick here on Senior Talk. But what would you say, you know, what's the biggest benefit to getting an estate plan in place? And really, why do I need to get this done?
Sure. So the biggest reason to do it across the board is it protects you, your assets, and most importantly, your family. It allows people to know what you actually want to have happen. It allows your kids to have the transparency to ask questions and to make sure that if mom and dad are gone, all the things mom and dad wanted to do for their kids, whether they're minors or adults, it doesn't matter, making sure those things still happen and the family keeps having Thanksgiving dinner or whatever it is that's important to mom and dad.
Fantastic. When's the right time to get this done?
Now.
Now.
Because yesterday isn't a fair answer.
It makes sense. You know, what would you like to leave our listeners with today? Maybe one final piece of advice regarding estate planning. What would it be?
So my biggest piece of advice would be, if you're thinking about doing an estate plan and you're feeling like this might be too much work, it might be too involved, it's really not. You've got someone there to help guide you through the process, and it's a gift that you are giving your family to not go through the court process. That's really what this is. It gives you peace of mind, but it's a gift to your survivors.
Excellent. Kristen Kelly, the Kelly Law Firm. Let's get your contact information out, phone number, website. How can our listeners get in touch with you?
Yeah, you can reach me at 719-249-2785, or you can go directly to my website and book an appointment there at kellyestatelaw.com.
Excellent. That's K-E-L-L-Y.
Why?
All right.
Just
I
the one
like to
E.
clarify. There we go. Thank you so much, Kristen, for taking the time to join us today.
Thank you for having me.
Before we go, I want to remind listeners that you can find out more information about Heartfelt Care at Home online at heartfeltcareathome.com or by giving us a call at 719-362-0094. Again, that's 719-362-0094. Be sure to join us next Sunday and every Sunday at 8 a.m. right here and only on KRTO News Radio, 105.5 FM, 1240 AM, 92.5 FM. For another edition of Senior Talk, presented by Heartfelt Care at Home, a Total Care Connections family company. Hi, Greg Koopman here, host of Senior Talk Sundays right here on KRTO News Radio. Are you a caregiver or a healthcare professional looking for a company that appreciates what you do? Are you tired of working for low pay, no benefits? Heartfelt Care at Home, Colorado's leading senior in-home care agency, is hiring now for compassionate, experienced caregivers to provide one-on-one care for our clients in their homes. We offer top pay, unlimited work, and industry-leading benefits. Apply online today at heartfeltcareathome.com.